What's up, sports fans? Welcome back to another episode of the Couchside Sports Podcast.
Woohoo.
We're out here. It's your host, Kyle French.
Michael Burke, chill on the couch, watching sports, talking sports.
A true couchman.
True couchman.
It is December 10th. It's a nice Sunday morning here. We just got our first snowfall. So we had to brave it out through the conditions to get to the studio today, but we're bringing you episode 21 nonetheless. And you know what it is, Couchside Sports, bringing you our perspective on sports from the comforts of our couches.
As it should be.
The way it should be. And we got another Who Got Finessed. We've been kind of blessed with a bunch of trades going down. We've done the NBA. We've done the NFL. Have we done baseball?
I don't remember. I feel like there had to be some sort of trade.
I think we did a little bit of baseball talk, but we got a huge one going down yesterday or 2 days ago.
Yeah, this is.
You want to break it down for us?
Yeah, sure. I mean, this is absolute bullshit. So, first off, as a Red Sox fan, it's what I have to say. But Giancarlo Stanton hit 59 home runs last year, individual home run leader, gets traded to the Yankees. And the Yankees were the team leader in home runs, but now they just have ridiculous power throughout their lineup. The Yankees gave up Starlin Castro and two lower level prospects, Jose Devers and Jorge Guzman. Honestly, I hate this trade. I hate it for one thing, because I'm a Red Sox fan. And two, because
you're biased.
It's kind of like bad for baseball. But so pretty much what happened is, you know, Derek Jeter, he goes, he buys the Marlins. They want to cut payroll. Because honestly, I think they just want to be profitable in their first year. And, you know, with the Marlins, you're not selling that many tickets. You got to make sure your payroll is low. Got to get it down underneath what you're bringing in, obviously, to make a profit. So I guess if he wants to cut it really, really low, that was like $55 million. So obviously, you know, the guy that you have, Giancarlo Stanton, who's on a 10-year, $295 million contract, that's the first guy to go. Comes out, Stanton wants to go to the West Coast. He's from L.A., I believe. Really wanted to go to the Dodgers. Dodgers weren't able to do it.
Yeah, they already have the biggest payroll in the league, right, Dodgers?
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
So they wouldn't be able to swing that.
Yeah, so then, like, Giants and Cardinals, they both wanted them. They both had framework completed. The Giants and the Cardinals both had deals completed with the Marlins. The Marlins were like, okay, we just have to get Giancarlo's approval because he has a full no-trade clause. And he blocked the trade to both of them.
But he really?
Said, no, I'm not going to St. Louis. Yeah. Said, no, I'm not going to St. Louis. No, I'm not going to the Giants. So at this point, he had apparently narrowed it down to like four teams, and the Giants and the Cardinals were on. So then all of a sudden he goes, no, I don't want to do that. But I'll approve a trade to the Yankees. When this comes out, I'm like, oh, God. I was like, if this man really goes to the Yankees, like, this is ridiculous. And then lo and behold, I wake up and fucking Giancarlo Stanton is a Yankee.
Yep.
And now they have Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, Gary Sanchez. Like, that power is unbelievable. I don't know if it's a, I don't know, but it could be a full finesse because all the Yankees gave up were Starlin Castro and two like low level prospects that could come out like turn out to be nothing.
Yep.
So
and I heard
gave up Starlin.
I heard they're gonna probably try to flip Starlin anyway and just trade him away because his contract. I think I read like $24 million over the next 2 years, which is not big at all, but it's too much for the Miami organization, so they're gonna try to trade him too.
Yeah, they're just cleaning house.
Is this
they're gonna be awful?
I mean, clearly it's not a baseball move at all, right?
For the Marlins, absolutely not. They're not really. I don't think they really care about the product they're putting on the field. I think it's mostly they just want to make some money. And the easiest way to make money is to have a super low payroll.
Disgusting.
But now the problem is, you know, the person that was putting butts in those seats over there was Giancarlo because he's so exciting to watch. And now he's gone.
Former MVP.
Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to have, you're probably going to have like those diehard Marlins fans. I don't know why you'd ever be a diehard Marlins fan. Maybe like the old guys that were still around from like the old days when Josh Beckett and them went to the World Series and stuff and won, but it's still just like, I don't know, they just want to cut money and that's it. They don't really have Marcell Ozuna, who is also a really good power hitting outfielder, he might be on the move too. So they might just be cleaning house, letting everybody go.
Yeah, this doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't even seem like a tank where they have a goal of getting better in the future. Because if I'm not wrong, they had a decent team currently, right? I mean, with Stanton, they weren't like a perennial playoff team, but they were in the hunt, correct?
Sort of. They were never really going to make it.
Okay.
The thing is, they had enough talent as to where they could build upon it. So if they had, say, like Fernandez had never gotten into that boat crash and like passed away, unfortunately, rest in peace, Jose Fernandez. But if they had him and they had like another starter and stuff like that, then we're in business. Like they could have been really good, but I guess they just went the opposite way and just cared about making money.
Yeah, because I've seen teams tank but never trade away a former MVP to tank. You know what I mean? Like the Thunder last year, the Thunder didn't trade away Russell Westbrook. You know, this year when they thought, oh, he's not going to get us there. They built upon him. They brought in other guys. It just doesn't seem right to me. Any conspiracy theories, too, with Jeter, his first move with the Marlins sending the Yankees a gift?
Oh, yeah, we'll get to that.
Oh, okay.
I smell a little collusion.
All right, yeah, I do as well. So we got to talk about an electric story that's going on, kind of in sports, kind of not. Don't know if you guys have heard about this, but Chris Bosh is back in the news.
Oh.
And it's not because of Chris Bosh. It's because of his mother, Frieda Bosh, named a suspect of a drug trafficking crime in Texas.
Wow.
So, Chris, you know, props to you, trying to put on your family. And he bought his mom a house. She's living, you know, carefree, you'd think, right? But the FBI, the police, raided the house, found large amounts of narcotics, including heroin and crack cocaine. Arrests are expected to come. And Chris Bosh, they say he's not connected to the crimes at all. The house is just in his name. But I have a question, you know, Mrs. Bosh, why are you trapping so hard? You know, I mean, your son's making millions in the NBA. Unfortunately, he's out of the NBA currently, due to his issues with, you know, blood clots in his lungs and everything.
Yeah.
So hopefully he can get back in the NBA soon. He said it's not a closed door. He's not retired. But Mrs. Bosh, I mean, what's going on? Why are you wilding out like this?
I don't know what she's doing. Maybe she's bored in that huge mansion in Texas and is like, you know what, let's add some excitement to my life.
I guess so.
So, like, you know, naturally she just decides to become a major drug trafficker.
Yeah.
But especially when you're in Texas, that close to Mexico.
Ooh, okay. Connect the dots.
Yep. Definitely some cartel action probably going on.
Maybe Frieda Bosh and El Chapo are working together?
Oh, probably 100%. I believe it.
And also, the funniest thing about this, some athletes, you know, they've had, you know, troubled pasts or they're kind of shady characters. Chris Bosh is not that guy.
No.
Like, Chris Bosh has, like, cooking shows with his wife where they just like cook vegan dinners in their house. Like that's, it doesn't make any sense.
I think I know where he's getting his blood clots in his lungs though now.
Where's that?
He walks into his house and his mom's sitting there smoking some crack cocaine.
Yeah, I guess so.
Mom, man.
But anyway, hopefully Chris can get back to the NBA soon. Miami could use him.
Oh yeah.
But connected with this, Couchside Sports figured this is a pretty crazy, stupid crime. We figured we'd break down our top five athlete dumbest crimes of all time.
All right, let's do this.
All right, so let's hop right into it. At number five, a classic, Plaxico Burress, New York Giants receiver, shoots himself in the leg in a New York City nightclub with a gun in his pocket. He's a fool. Not only does he injure himself seriously, he gets charged with a criminal possession of a weapon, an illegally registered gun, essentially ends up in the hospital and spends time in jail simply because he shot himself.
What was he doing? How do you pull the trigger and shoot yourself in the leg? Like, was he putting it back in his pants? Why did you bring it to the club in the first place? Like, I don't know. What's with all these, like, football players and like basketball players wanting to be like rappers and wanting to be like gangsters and stuff like that. Like, you literally have the life. You're literally playing a game and making millions of dollars. Just don't bring a gun to the club.
Hey, maybe they need to put you on retainer as their consultant, really straighten some of these guys out.
I think they do. Any NFL players looking for some legal consulting, let me know. I'll tell you how to live.
All right, you want to get to number four for us?
Yeah, sure. Number four, everybody knows about this one. Aaron Hernandez committing murder and illegally possessing a stupid amount of weapons. The man is a tight end of the Patriots going around doing drive-bys. People are like, is that Aaron Hernandez shooting at me? Like, I don't know, it's crazy. He had so many guns, so many drugs, and like a bunch of different apartments that he was renting out. Obviously, the Patriots say they deny knowing anything of it, but this guy just could not let go of the street life. Like, I don't understand why. I feel like, you know, when you make it in the NFL, you know, just let it go. You know, you don't need to be shooting people or ordering hits on people, whatever he did. But,
yeah,
you know, this one's going to go down against me because he really was a great talent. The Pats were using them everywhere. He was lining up as wide receiver, lining up in the backfield. He was going to be something super special. And maybe the CTE or something really got to him. And unfortunately now, RIP.
Yep. RIP. Wild situation. Number three, we have Najee Davenport. Not a very well-known name. Used to play for the Packers. But get this, he broke into a college dorm in Miami, got a little drunk, got a little wild one night, broke into a college dorm, went into a woman's room, and defecated in her laundry basket, and then just got up and left. So he just,
I didn't know it was him.
She knew. She, like, woke up and, like...
She woke up and was like... Smells like
nauseous
shit.
Yeah. Exactly, man. I mean, I'm sure they could identify him if they tested that, you know?
Oh, yeah, 100%.
And she sued him, and it was a mess. There were some incredible lines just attacking his moral character in the lawsuit, talking about how he's like an uncivilized person and shouldn't be allowed to live in this civilized world. It was pretty wild, but yeah, you can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't know, maybe she, like, served him or something, but if a girl tells you no, if I approached a female and she told me no, like, I'm not interested, my immediate thought is not, I'm going to go shit in the laundry basket. I don't make those connections, so I don't know what she was thinking. I mean, he probably wasn't.
He knew her.
Oh, really?
yeah, this is like a stranger. I think he just... was completely in another state of mind.
Just a drive-by defecation.
Just a drive-by defecation, that's right.
That's crazy. A random victim. He's like, who can I get today? All right, number two. Keeping it in football because a lot of these dudes be doing some wild stuff. Sam Hurd setting up a cocaine distribution network in Chicago while he was playing for the Bears.
Classic.
Maybe he should have hit up that Dolphins coach. Maybe he could have helped him out. Maybe he might have not gotten caught. I mean, that guy got caught too, so maybe not.
Yeah, but a couple real kingpins here.
Yeah, so, I mean, it makes more sense in Miami than it does in Chicago, but I guess Chicago is really, like, you're around that a lot, and there's really not much to do. It's cold. Could use a little bump, warm you up.
And I heard he's like, oh, I'm not really making that much money. You know, I'm not, like, a top-end wide receiver, so, you know, I got to rake up the dough somehow.
I'm not really making that much money, even though the league minimum is about 6 figures.
Yeah.
And there are people working for minimum wage, not being able to pay rent, but not do you. Set up that cocaine distribution network.
Yeah, shout out Sam Hurd. And number one, This is crazy. So this man, Nate Newton, another football player.
Oh my God, football guys.
They're all over the list, man. But it's unfair. The statistics are unfair because there's way more football players than there are any other sport, right?
Yeah, that's because they make the least amount of money among the athletes.
So anyway, this man, Nate Newton, got caught not once, but twice in the same month for having nearly 200 pounds. That's right, 200 pounds of marijuana in his vehicle.
That's like me. So he had, like, that's wild. 200 pounds.
Yes. That's like your whole car full.
Yeah, that's crazy. Because I'm 6'1", and I'm, like, 220. So, like, that's like a stack of just, like, that's ridiculous.
And I think you're probably a little bit more dense than...
Yeah, maybe a little more dense. I don't know. Maybe he has some really good shit. You never know.
Maybe. You never do know.
You know, sometimes it's, like, dense. But that is so crazy.
Yeah, and just the stupidity, like, you get pulled over once, and they're like, oh, you have 175 pounds of marijuana. We're going to put you on probation. We're going to let you keep playing. Somehow he got off the hook the first time.
He still played. And,
yeah. And then, like, 25 days later, he gets caught with, like, 200 pounds. It's like, dude, that's 400 pounds of transportating illegal drugs in 1 month while you're making, like you said, they make a minimum of, like, high six figures, low seven figures.
I don't understand, like, why... When you get caught once and you're on probation, you don't have a friend that is, like, helping you with this so you can be like, yo, can you do it? Because obviously, I'm...
Oh, Chris I'm Carter? Fall guy?
People know me. Yeah. Like, somebody do it for him, because that is so crazy. You get caught twice in the same month. I'm assuming that he didn't get away the second time.
No, he did not. Nope. Out of the league.
Ah, Nate.
Really a shame. All right. So that was our top five athlete crimes. Really could have been just top five NFL crimes. It was only pretty football much we threw in there. There was an honorable mention for a rowing guy who was so drunk one night that he broke into a law office building thinking he was breaking back into his own home. So we'll throw that one an honorable mention.
Why is he breaking into his own home?
Well, the door was locked. He couldn't get in. So he's like, hey, I'll just break the window down and get back in. Who cares? It's my house. I'm not going to sue myself.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, he woke up the next morning and a bunch of people came into work and were like, what are you doing here?
Who are you?
So, yeah, honorable mention for him. I don't even remember his name, but he was a rower. So if you can name one rower, we'll just say it was him.
I have no idea what a new rower.
All right, so we'll move on. We got a little breaking news that isn't news.
Okay.
Our favorite segment here on Couchside. You want to lead us into this segment here?
Yeah, sure. So my breaking news that isn't news is, you know, a lot of people probably saw this coming, but Baker Mayfield won the Heisman.
Yep.
Last night. Dude was an absolute savage. Some great moments from the season is when we had the Oklahoma Sooners flag and planted it right in the middle at Ohio State. Also, when he grabbed his balls and yelled at the Kansas people, like, so he had some great moments. But
yeah, and also another moment that connects to our dumbest crimes. You saw the police video that's been going viral of him getting tackled on campus.
I have not seen that.
It was last year he got arrested for like public intoxication, and I guess someone just leaked the video or found the video again. He got absolutely hit-sticked by an officer. It was incredible.
Oh, man. Get him some pads. Get him on the field. But, yeah, Mayfield had a great year this year. 71% completion percentage, 4,300 yards. He had 41 touchdowns to 5 interceptions. His rating was 203.8. Dude was a savage all year. I mean, there were, like, some other good players in the and they're running, obviously, Bryce Love, the stands of running back, and then you had Lamar Jackson, but they didn't really come that close. Mayfield got 732 first-place votes compared to Love's only, he only got 75, and Lamar Jackson only got 47. So Mayfield took it pretty easily. A lot of people saw this coming. They shouldn't have given it to anyone else. They made the right decision. Mayfield, maybe he'll be running QB for your Browns next year. We'll see.
Yeah, hey, I'd love to have him on the Cleveland Believeland Browns, man.
Maybe then, like, you'd actually get an upset.
Well, they wouldn't be an upset. If they had Baker, they'd be favored every game.
True.
So my breaking news that isn't news is that the Rams have a terrible fan base. So the Rams have such poor attendance and bad fans that Fox is actually hiring actors and actresses to pretend to be Rams fans for their game against the Eagles that I believe is going down tonight or this afternoon.
So, what I don't understand is, Fox, why wouldn't you, like, hit us up? Like, fly us out. I'll be a Rams fan for the evening. Why not?
Yeah, I didn't get a call.
Right?
I'm pretty disappointed, but either way, this is pretty pitiful that a TV network to like make their games look good has to pay people to go to their games. Like that's
yeah.
Maybe the Marlins are gonna have to do that soon.
I mean, I don't think that they would want to use money like that to pay people.
Yeah, that is. Yep.
They'll probably
right.
just give the tickets away. Like, please show up. There's $40 boots out here with it too.
Yeah, so that's the Eagles are going into L.A. I almost said St. Louis. They're going into Los Angeles.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, the Rams have no fans. So Eagles already have one W on their record. They probably have more fans in L.A. than the Rams.
Yeah, that's going to be a great game. So, like, it should be bumping because that's a pretty big game too.
Yeah, what is it, 9-3 versus 10-2?
Yeah.
Incredible game.
Playoff matchup, you know?
Yeah. I would go, especially if someone paid me.
Right? Like, pay me to watch football, please.
That's the dream. All right, so that was our Breaking News Isn't News, classic segment on Couchside.
Yep.
So you have something you learned this week?
Yeah, we're going to get back into the Derek Jeter situation. So what I learned this week is that Derek Jeter, it's hard to steal with the Yankees. He's going to do whatever he can to make sure that the Yankees win. I smell a whole lot of collusion with this Giancarlo Stanton situation. It's just so ironic that Jeter buys a team and then ships the team's best player, who just happens to be the individual home run leader and National League MVP, and just ships him right to the Yankees from a fucking bag of balls. It's so ridiculous. Jeter, you could have done that at least a little more subtly and been like, all right, give me something a little bit more than two lower-level prospects, but I don't know, man. Jeter, I have to respect him because, number one, very great guy. Number two, great baseball player. And number three, he had like a whole like starting roster of like banging women at you. So Derek Jeter gets props, but at the same time, Jeter, you're definitely colluding with these Yankees. You and Brian Cashman are there snickering, eating your $800 steaks while you're just giving Giancarlo Stanton away for nothing. You're probably going to end up, if they win the World Series this year, they're probably going to give Jeter a ring and be like,
give
you don't
a ring.
Deserve that.
Because, MVP.
Thank you. Yeah. So, I mean, that's all. What I learned this week is that Jeter's heart is still with the Yankees, and he's going to do whatever he can to make sure that, you know, they come out on top.
And you would never accuse the MLB of being a dirty organization, right?
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Clean. It's been clean for years now.
Oh, yeah. No problems. The commissioner is not the worst in sports. Shout out Roger Goodell.
Who just got a new contract, too.
Just got a new contract, which is absolutely ridiculous. Demanded $50 million a year and a private jet for life. So he can go around suspending players for football plays and not suspending players for beating their girlfriends. But that's a different subject.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what I learned this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, Roger Goodell getting that fat contract. It proved to me that the NFL owners are just as bad as Roger Goodell for supporting his behavior, you know?
Yeah, it's so ridiculous.
Jerry Jones, he tried. He tried to form a rebellion. The one right-minded owner of an NFL franchise.
Shout out Jerry Jones, Kappa Sigma member.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
He's so you guys are blood brothers?
No, not blood brothers. No,
come on.
We didn't do that. But
that's soft.
Yeah, you know, I could give him the handshake and give him a few secrets if I met him. Maybe he'd throw me some money.
Could you guys do like chants and songs and stuff?
We don't really have a song, but
confirmed co-host Michael Burke and Jerry Jones, tight.
Yeah, well, we go way back.
Yeah, especially considering Jerry is like 110 years old, so really far back.
Oh, he's more than that, man. he sold his soul a while ago. Man's been around for a while.
Ooh, sold his soul?
I mean, I just feel like once you get into like Jerry Jones level money, you start to get into some like freaky shit.
Some devious things?
Yeah, like some people approach you that are into some weird stuff. And I don't know, Jerry Jones, there's just something about him.
All right, demonic figure leading the Cowboys. You heard it here first.
Might be.
So now move on. Another one of our recurring segments, Stat of the Week.
Oh, yeah.
I got an interesting one. Not really necessarily a stat, but just some number things that I think we need to point out. So Tom Brady and Drew Brees, they're basically tied for all-time passing touchdowns. Drew is sitting at 484. Brady is at 482. They've actually passed each other back and forth for the last, like, two games that each of them have played. And so they'll probably duel it out for, like, every week in the next 2 years or however long they both play. But get ready, because you're going to see this infographic pop up on your screen anytime you watch a Saints game or a Patriots game that Drew Brees or Tom Brady just moved into third on the all-time passing touchdowns list. It happened on Thursday Night Football. Drew Brees jumped back over Brady. Brady's going to play the Dolphins this Sunday here. And he's almost actually, they play on Monday, don't they?
They play on Monday.
So Monday night, you're going to see Brady throw probably conservatively 5 touchdown passes. Is that fair?
Yeah, I said that's pretty fair, you know.
Conservatively.
More, probably, but...
yeah, conservatively 5. So he'll leap back over Brees, and they'll pop up the infographic that he's now third on the all-time passing touchdowns list. And it'll be funny, too, because when they catch Brett Favre in probably next year or late this year, he's at 508 for second all-time. So they're both going to pass him. It's just going to be a mess. You're just going to see these guys jumping back and forth forever. So it's going to be pretty funny.
I wonder who's going to end up playing more years, because if Brady plays one more year than Drew Brees, obviously that makes a huge difference. I really don't like seeing Peyton Manning as the number one all time, so I'm hoping that one of them passes him.
I would expect one of them will.
Yeah, I expect maybe even both of them, because they're both around the same age, maybe, right? Because Brady's like 40, so is Drew Brees.
Brees is 38, yeah.
38, okay, so he's a little bit younger. So yeah, they're definitely both going to pass him. Because you're only, what, like... 50 down now.
Yeah, they're closer to 60 out, but if they play two more seasons each, they'll probably be there.
Yeah.
But that's, I don't know if we can take that for granted.
Yeah, you don't really have to, especially in football.
Yeah, so that's my stat of the week. You got something you want to talk about for us?
Yeah, just a quick stat of the week. We're going back to this Giancarlo Stanton situation. So I was looking around, and for the Red Sox last year, they were the last in the American League for home runs. As a team, they hit 168, right?
Okay.
The Yankees, after picking up Giancarlo Stanton.
Oh, no.
Giancarlo Stanton had 59. Aaron Judge had 52. Gary Sanchez had 33. And Didi Gregorius had 25. That's 4 guys. And if you add up those numbers, it comes up to 169. So those 4 guys hit more home runs than the entire Red Sox team last year. So those 4 guys.
So what you're saying is the AL East is in big trouble.
The AL East, besides the Red Sox. Okay, because like, it's going to be like Red Sox, Yankees duking it out, because the Red Sox, don't get me wrong, do not sleep. They have a great team. A lot of their players had down years last year. Mookie Betts had a down year. Like way down here, and he still ended up like 6th in MVP voting. But Xander Bogaerts had a down year. He only hit like 273, and this dude is a guy that's a normal like 300 hitter. He had a 20 home run season before, and this time he only hit 10. Andrew Benintendi was a rookie, had a great season, so I wouldn't sleep on them. They're definitely going to make a move. I can see them doing a few things. They could either trade for Jose Abreu. They could sign Santana to play first, or they could end up signing J.D. Martinez, who's a great power outfielder. He's the most expensive option. If I had to pick, I'd want them to get Santana. But, you know, this Giancarlo Stanton trade is going to force the Red Sox hand. They're going to do something. They can't not respond because they need to stay in contention. So it's going to be Red Sox-Yankees, as it should be,
for
the next decade. And it's going to be great.
So, can you lock in a Red Sox World Series championship next year for us?
Not just yet. I just
need Not yet, okay.
I mean, I'm a pretty confident Boston fan, but right now, I need to wait and see what the Red Sox have done, since they haven't really made any moves. All they did was, like, re-sign Tyler Thornburg, with a relief pitcher who didn't even pitch last year. So,
gotcha. Yeah, I got another stat of the week for you, actually.
Ooh, let's hear it.
The number is 40. You know why?
Why?
Because Manu Ginobili is still 40, and he's still killing the Boston Celtics as a GOAT.
Oh, God.
Hitting game-winning shots right in Al Horford's mouth.
He didn't even think that was going. He, like, threw it up, and it was
nah, he knew.
The most arcing shot I've ever seen.
That was nothing but buckets. What are you talking about?
Yeah, my buckets. Just, like, whatever. They don't even – we'll see if they even make it past the Rockets, because the Rockets are looking ridiculous right now.
Oh, yeah, they're cooking. James Harden cooking.
I told you, man, when they got Chris Paul over there, that was a nice move.
They're my pick to win it all, so don't sleep.
No, yeah, definitely not.
All right, we'll move on to a little NFL picks, the way we usually close out our show here.
Oh, yeah.
We got upset of the week. That's where we usually start. And you mentioned it earlier. You brought up that I usually ride with the Browns. And this is the week. Cleveland over Green Bay. It's going down. I had to take a quick hiatus from picking the Browns because they had to show Jimmy G some love last week. Picked the 49ers to get a nice W. They did. Yeah. And now we're back. It's Cleveland's time. Deshaun Kizer, Josh Gordon's back out there on the field. Easily their best, what do you call him, skill player.
Yeah.
Besides, I mean, maybe Myles Garrett's their best player. I don't know. I would say Josh Gordon may be their best player on the team. So they get him back. And they're playing the Green Bay team, who they got their heads focused on Aaron Rodgers' medical results, thinking maybe Aaron can come back. They're not thinking about getting business finished up in Cleveland. Cleveland Browns, upset of the week.
I can definitely see that. Me, I'm rolling through some familiar territory as well.
Okay.
Last week, I predicted that the Kansas City Chiefs would lose to the Jets.
You did.
And the J-E-T-S Jets came up big for me.
J-E-T-S Jets.
So we got a divisional matchup. We got the Raiders playing Kansas City. Kansas City, 4-point favorite right now. They're going to lose. They're losing again.
Again?
The Raiders are coming out, punching them in the mouth. You'll see what happens. Marshawn going to run all over them. Their defense has turned into absolute garbage. Kareem Hunt has not done anything for weeks now.
Disappeared.
Teams have keyed in on him. They realize, you know, what the Patriots did in week one. Kansas City Chiefs are trash. Ha ha to every Chiefs fan that thought they were something special when they beat the Pats. Got lucky 1 week. That's all it was. You guys are awful. You're losing again. Raiders, we're rolling.
This is like the biggest meltdown of all time for the Chiefs right now.
Oh, yeah.
It's a shame.
They're like 5-0, and now they've like...
They've lost like 7 of their last 8 or something.
Yeah.
So 6 good. Of their last 7.
Yeah.
It's crazy, but... So we'll move on. Sunday night game. The Baltimore Ravens, who are hot right now, going into Pittsburgh. Who are you rolling with?
This one is really tough. I'm going to have to roll with Pittsburgh just because it's in Pittsburgh. I know the Ravens are playing well. If it was in Baltimore, I would definitely roll with the Ravens. But Pittsburgh's tough to beat, especially when they're home. Sometimes things, you know, the ball flies differently in field goals, stuff like that. It's used to it. It's going to be a cold one. I'm going to roll with Pittsburgh. I'm going to roll with Antonio Brown. I'm going to roll with Le'Veon Bell.
I think you might be right. I know this is a trap, but I'm going to take the Ravens.
Oh!
They've been on a roll recently, and it's one of those things where right when you think, oh, they're pretty good, like look at them, they might make the playoffs, they're going to, you know, take a big L. They'll probably lose by 30, and all of a sudden they're never the same team. They only win 7 games. I don't care. I'm going to fall for it. I'm going to take the Ravens. I like to always pick when teams are, you know, maybe looking ahead a week. I think the Steelers, Mike Tomlin, they had an interview like 2 weeks ago, I want to say, and he already said he was thinking forward to the Patriots game. So we know what's on his mind. I think this is going to be a letdown for the Steelers. They've been really ripe for an L for a while now, winning close games against bad teams.
Yeah.
I think this is one that they drop. So I'll take the Ravens here.
I hope they do, because then the Pats can move into first place, but we'll see.
Yeah, but they can do that on their own accord when they play them head-to-head.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
All right, so Monday night, we have the Patriots that we just mentioned going into Miami. Is this the lock of the century?
This is easily 100% the lock of the century. The Dolphins don't stand a chance. I'm sorry. Last time they played, passed one pretty easily. It's going to happen again. Dolphins are trash. Everybody knows it. I know it. You know it. Everybody
I do know it. I do know it.
So, I mean, Kenyon Drake, I'm going to start him for fantasy because
bold. You know,
the Pats defense is a little iffy sometimes. And I'm on a bye, so it doesn't really matter what I do.
Okay, thank congrats. God.
Shout out to Alvin Kamara. He'll be all right from next week, hopefully. Yeah, you're listening, Alvin. Let me know if you're going to be okay. but easily New England Patriots over Miami. No question, no doubt. If you want to disagree with me, tweet us. I will gladly take a bet against you.
Ooh, that's okay. I don't think you'll be getting any mentions on that one. Picking against the Patriots when they're playing in the AFC East in December, not a good idea.
Yeah.
So Patriots, I got to imagine they roll through this one, no problems. Handled the Bills last week easily.
Yeah.
It's getting toward that the divisional time of the year where somehow every team plays the best team in their division twice in the past 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Patriots never have really had a problem with that. They get their business done early and often. They'll beat the Dolphins Monday night. No need to really watch the game, honestly.
I'm just going to watch it just because I like to see Brady, you know, light up some.
And you can see him get into third place on the all-time passing touchdowns list. Yeah.
We're looking for the graphics,
Look for it. All right, so that's NFL picks, and that's going to wrap up our show today on Couchside Sports. You know what it is, giving you our perspective on sports from the comforts of our couches.
Oh, yeah.
The way it should be. So, Mike, I'm actually going to be coming down to your borough there. I'll be down in Queens, New York City area next week.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know. Maybe we can try to find a way to record remotely.
That'd be pretty cool.
That'd be pretty dope. Maybe you know anybody in the area running a studio?
I could ask around.
Okay, okay.
I could find somebody in the St. John's one.
All right, dope. Well, if not, we'll see you guys next week. Hopefully Sunday morning, like we have been doing the past couple weeks, we'll get on. As always, you can find our episodes on whus.org/talk and also on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. So this is your host, Kyle French, signing off for Couchside Sports.
Michael Berg signing off. Stick around for our next episode next week because I'll be doing a recap of the baseball winter meetings because that's where a lot of stuff's going to go down.
Ooh.
So if you're interested in that, make sure you listen in next week.
All right, cool. Thanks for listening, guys. We'll see you then.
Peace.